started. Well, here we are. It's March 14th on Tuesday, 10:08 p.m., and this is the final call in this series on The Attractor Factor. This is Tom Heck, and we're discussing The Attractor Factor by Dr. Joe Vitale, and the section we're working on tonight is Step 5, The Ultimate Secret, which starts on page 149, and then we'll thought we'd, if time permits, and we'll just go into any of the other sections here towards the end, including the suggested reading list on page 191. So, with that said, there's Al and Helen and Bonnie on the line, and perhaps others will join us. And for those listening to the recording, there is a, you might hear a beep, which identifies someone when they join in. So, step five, the ultimate secret. Where should we start on this section? Bonnie, I have to confess that just like last time, I haven't, the last time you were on the call, or maybe it was section three, where I wasn't fully prepared to, I hadn't gone through and made all my notes and highlights in this section, which was one of the reasons that I wanted to host these calls, so that I would be forced to go through every sentence.
Yeah. Why don't you state what the fifth one is?
Well, it's step five, the ultimate secret, and if I go back and look at the five steps, step number one is know what you don't want. Step number two, and these are sections in the book, select what you do want. Section three, clear all negative or limiting beliefs. Step four, feel what it would be like to have, do, or be what you want, which we discussed last week. And step five, let go as you act on your intuitive impulses and allow the results to manifest. And that's what he says the ultimate secret is let go as you act on your intuitive impulses and allow the results to manifest. And, you know, by the way, also in this section, there are six key points on page 177, which I did highlight, and he had covered, Joe had covered at different points during the book, and I guess he just wanted to make sure that we got the, oh, maybe I'm wrong there. That was in the $1 million secret formula, starting on page 175, which I guess he kind of recaps everything starting on page 175. So that's really not truly in this last section. So, Al, what do you think? Where should we start on this one?
I'm looking at the book as you speak.
Okay. You know, maybe we could do this. Is start with maybe the six key points that are on page 177 and just run through some of those, and as we're talking, go back and relate them to the step five, which is the last step. And so step number one is you're totally responsible for your experiences in your life, and which he covered in number one. And step number, or the second key point is you're absorbing beliefs from your from the culture itself. And I think that that's, I remember talking to this group about listening to National Public Radio one day as I drove my son to school. And of course, it was in the morning and they were talking about Iraq. Right, and every time they talk about Iraq, it's about car bombs and kidnappings and stuff like that. And here I have a six-year-old son who just turned seven, and he's asking me questions about car bombs and what is a kidnapping, Daddy. And then he turns to me and says, "Do you like listening to this?" And
out of the vibes of.
I know. It's and I said, you know what? I don't. Let's listen to some music. But you know, there's a part of me that I know, I confess, is interested in world events. And yet, when I hear things like that, or Iran and nuclear weapons and nuclear proliferation, and I just, it can become depressing. And I know that Joe had said, maybe it was somewhere in this book or somewhere in his blog, where he says he doesn't pay attention or follow the news. Did anybody else hear that? Was that in this book?
Well, actually, we discussed that a couple of weeks ago on the call.
Yeah.
How we no longer, a lot of us no longer listen or watch the news.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, I haven't had a television for four and a half years, and don't miss it. And the number of people that want to give me one, I just say, go away.
Isn't that funny? I've had the same thing. People say, hey, you don't have a TV. Would you like one?
Yeah. And so then the questions are, what do you do? I said, look, I've got many, many things to do.
Right. As if there's no other way.
If something's important, somebody's going to tell me about it.
Right. Yeah, when I was in college, I lived in a cabin that I built, and it had no running water, no electricity, no telephone.
Wow.
And I lived in it for almost 3 years of college. It was 5 years through college. And I had the same belief. I thought, well, you know, if someone really needs to get a hold of me, they'll find me if it's really important. And I had a post office just like a mile and a half away, so I could always be reached like that. But it was different living like that. Really slowed things down. It was very quiet. I got to experience real solitude.
I spent my childhood on a property, and that's where I grew up, with no running water, no electricity, all of that, and it was just bliss.
Yeah. So, I mean, it reminds me of, if we go back to page 150, the at the top there in this step five is the ego's love, is this idea of drama. He says, years ago I discovered that most of us, myself included, don't like to let go and allow, because there's nothing for us to grapple with. And, I listened to the events on the radio, and I think, how can I impact that? And is what I'm, I like to think that I'm playing on a world level anyway, through my website, but I wonder, it's not going to affect me so much at this stage of the game. I'm really passionate about what I do, and I hear these things, and I think I need to make it happen that much faster. So it's getting into that, the idea of the ego. I think that that's what the letting go part here is the in step five. Let go as you act on your intuitive impulses. The operable phrase is let go, and to let go means that my ego, I've got to keep my ego in check, because I think it's my ego that wants to make it happen, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like archery. Has anybody read the Zen and the Art of Archery?
Mm-hmm.
That the arrow, to believe that the arrow wants to be, desires to be in the center of the target, versus forcing the arrow to go there. It's just a different mindset. You know, it's the ones of letting go and allowing what wants to happen, versus I'm going to use my will to force it, which is not letting go.
Right.
Which, flies in the face of everything I was taught growing up, which is if I'm going to make it happen, if anything's going to happen, it's going to be because of my will, not because of letting go. That was not, I don't think I ever heard the phrase letting go while I was growing up.
Totally agree.
Oh, either.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very aligned with what karma yoga is, which is do what you do, do the best that you do it, but don't be attached to the fruits. Give the fruits to the guru or to your higher power. Do what you do to the best of your ability for the joy of doing it, not for what you get for doing it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what it comes from me is the speed. I think, how do you all process that, this, when it doesn't happen on your schedule? I think it's what I'm alluding to is my patience around it, around having something manifest.
Several years ago, I was a very impatient person. And up until several years ago, I was able to create things to come into my life, though it was challenging, but somehow they would come about pretty close to the time period that I would want them to happen. But that was all ego. And now I've realized the way I function and live now through my heart, and keeping my ego out of the way, though it may not happen as when I expect it to happen, it is much, much, much more effortless.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Hello?
Hi, who just joined us?
This is Sarah Bush.
Sarah Bush, welcome.
Thank you.
Sarah, hello.
Hello.
We have Al and Helen and Bonnie on the call, and this is Tom.
Wonderful.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
You sound garbled to me.
I sound what?
No, now you sound good.
Yeah. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I am out of town and just really, I can't stay on, but I just feel real committed to this call. And so I decided to step on as long as I could.
Oh, good. Well, we're glad you're here. I was leading a teleclass last week, and one of the participants was traveling. They pulled over in a truck stop and were on their phone calling from a truck stop, which I thought, hey, that's pretty neat.
Mm. Yeah.
I want to do that. I want to see where people can end up and call in. Like, you know, they're on the Eiffel Tower. I'm at the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, cool.
I mean, Helen, you could have called and said that tonight. We would have all believed you.
I'll save the call for the moon when I go to the moon.
Well, so we have Helen from Australia, and where's the other gentleman from?
California.
Al's from California.
Okay. But we don't have Malaysia.
You're from Malaysia?
No, we had a lady on last week from Malaysia.
Yes, we had someone from Malaysia calling in where it was like lunchtime. So Sarah, we're just reviewing step five here and working through. So the idea of timing, I think, is going back to this whole section of letting go. I'm curious as to what techniques or what methodologies you all are using to let go versus, I guess, what is the opposite of letting go? I guess holding on, which means that you think that if I hold on, then I think that means that I've got the answer, and if I don't, if I let go, then I give up. I don't know. Maybe that's a concept.
Well, Tom, I pursued a wrong career for 45 years, and. And that's hanging on to it because it just got worse and worse and worse. But I didn't know anything else but to keep at it.
Yes.
And so today I can look at pursuing the career I've always wanted to do. So you've got to let it go to be able to move on.
And I found that the way that I was launching my coaching practice was very ego-based, and I've just taken a big step back and am taking a little bit of time to trust and to sort out what it is and how it is that I want to do it. And that's just remarkable for me. I've never stopped something that I've started to reevaluate what and how, and it's been one of the most delicious challenges I think I've taken on.
You know, Bonnie, you just said a key word that that I use. Growing up, I was taught, and this, I don't know if back then this was a form of letting go, but the two words I heard throughout my growing up was hope and faith. And what I use now, and it works wonderfully for me, is trust. I trust that everything is going perfectly, regardless of what it is. I rarely ever hope, and I do have faith, but if somebody would ask me what's the key word in letting go, the first thing I'll tell them is trust.
Yes. And I don't know that I ever learned that growing up or got exposed to faith, trust, or hope. I just don't remember. That'll be an interesting conversation to have with my folks and my brothers.
Well, I learned faith through religion. And hope was, that was expressed quite a bit to me also.
Yeah, Al, you just... I just wrote something down when you made that distinction of hope and faith versus trust. And I was speaking with a friend of mine the other day about this, the concept of who and or what is your source. In other words, she was working on a challenging situation at work,
mm-hmm.
and fearing that she might end up getting fired. And her concern was that if I get fired, then everything, then all flow essentially will stop. Now, she didn't use those terms. And so when I said, so let's say that you do get fired. Worst case, you go to work tomorrow and you get fired. And so What she was thinking was is that her source is what I was getting in the conversation was her efforting. That it's without her working hard, then the things won't happen. That the source was her, and I think that that's where the fear can come in.
Well, that source, her putting the source, her being the source, is ego.
Right. It's a separate idea.
And here's the thing, and I'll guarantee you this: if you listen to your ego, you'll have a roller coaster ride. That's not to say you will not have success. You can have success, but eventually you're going to bottom out. When you function and live by the ego, you will be on a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And if that's her source, then she's going to be on a roller coaster ride. I guarantee that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now that's not to say some people have success for 3 or 5 years and some only have it for a week. That will happen because obviously everybody's unique and somebody can just swing it. I've been able to have success up to a year living on the ego, but then the bottom will fall out.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's telling you that her source is herself, she's functioning on ego.
Yeah, and this is where the shift can happen. Is that, see, I think it's the ego that can get bought into the idea that if she gets fired, then that means she's going to have to work really hard, or that all flow will stop. And I think if coming from the place of what is my source, and declaring what my source is. You know, my source is not my boss. My source, and isn't that the funny thing? You know, because what she is essentially saying is that My source is work. That is my source of where abundance, financial abundance flows from. That's my source.
And listen to what she is saying. She's limiting herself to that being the only source of income.
Right.
Instead of being open to the universe and saying, I'm open and available to whatever's out there. She's staying flat out. As a matter of fact, she's affirming it to the universe, and therefore the universe is going to tell her, this is what you wish and desire, therefore I will give it to you.
Right.
This is your source of income. You're not open to anything else, therefore I will honor what you wish. Law of attraction. I will give you exactly what you want, and that is, your job is your only source of income. And then when she loses the job, what she's going to do? She's going to blame everybody because, you know what? I just lost my job. That's my only source of income. How dare you?
Right. So the idea of source. I mean, I'm looking on page 157 under the section that's titled "Thy Will Be Done," mm-hmm. and it says. According to the Spindrift Foundation, I've not Googled them, but this has got me curious now. On the power of prayer, thy will be done prayer gets more than twice as many results as a specific give me this prayer. That's why it's important to have the magic words this or something better. So he's equating thy will be done to this or something better.
Mm-hmm. Because it eliminates the ego.
Yeah.
And you're functioning from your heart.
Not my will, but thine be done.
Yep.
Now, when I was growing up, I did not. I have distinct memories of not liking that. That I really.
I never heard it.
Really?
Never heard it till finding yoga.
Yeah. Now, I wonder. You know, like I do a blessing over my food before I eat my food, and I don't actually end that with "and this or something better or thy will be done." And so this has got me thinking about that. So, and I have a friend who does. He says he tries to be in a prayerful state all day long. You know, when he does a mailing, he blesses his mailing. He's got a business. He's got a small business, and. So he blesses all those letters that go out, and it's when I first heard it, I thought, boy, that sounds, and he does this piece too, "Thy will be done," this or something better, I think, is more of what he says, and so he's just in that consciousness all day long.
That's pretty powerful.
Would take some concentration to do that.
I think for him it did, and now it's a habit, like brushing his teeth. He just does it. It's part of his life. You know, taking out.
Do you want to know an effortless way of doing that?
Please.
Everything you see, everything you do, everything you hear, everything you smell, everything you taste, everything you sense, being in the mindset of gratitude and love. Mm-hmm. Absolutely everything, regardless how it looks. Thank it. Love it.
I'll have to sit with that one out for a minute.
Well, if in fact God is everything and everywhere, then everything is a manifestation of God.
Absolutely. So if you're grateful and thankful for every conceivable thing that you can see, hear, touch, smell, taste, or sense, then you are being in mindful meditation or in a prayer mode.
Okay.
And here's the thing. It's not like you can turn on the lamp switch and say, thank you, I love you, internally. And next thing you know, you're just automatically doing it. to everything.
Okay, all right.
Well, this is what Joe talks about on page 160, the TISG, turn it into something good.
I know that there are times when I'm feeling most centered where instead of regarding things as it, and that I talk to them. You know, talking to the plants, talking to my car, and being, you know, appreciating them from a dialogue rather than an object perspective. And I'm grateful when I fall into that, and I would like to do that more consciously. And I especially love to talk to people who are in service positions in businesses and call them by their name. You know, that's really acknowledging people and, in a sense, being grateful for them, and they always light up.
When you function in love and gratitude, without you even saying a word, others will see it. You will emanate that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you will draw people to yourself that vibrate in the same energy, and it just keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to the point that everything that happens to you, or that you see, or to attract, or you create, in the energy of love and gratitude, it just multiplies. And what you're doing is you're sending blessings out to the world, to the universe. And it reciprocates by sending it back to you. Because you are that energy. That is what you're vibrating.
Well, in this section, the letting go, I think that a key piece here that I'd love to discuss is the idea of letting go. And at the top of page 163, he says, by far the most common question is about step five, the one called letting go or let go. And people say, but what if I do let go? If I let go, do I just sit there? And he said, what he didn't fully explain in an earlier book, the spiritual marketing book, was that you usually still have to do something to achieve your dreams. So I think it's in the letting go that we get that I look for the intuitive, my intuition to say, oh, you know, call this person or do this. So I think it's being sensitized to what it is that what's happening around us, as opposed to, you know, just letting go. I was listening to T. Harv Eker today, the Millionaire Mind. Has anybody read that book?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was railing on, you know, meditating and doing mantras and just all those things. And he said, you know, still, you're going to have to do something. But I think it's this step that I think is spiritually guided direction, allowing things to come to you, like he says, answering the phone or being in the right place at the right time. I think it's knowing that that's the belief that is what I have by letting go and doing these other steps, is that I have caused some things to happen in my life, and now I wait in anticipation and look for that phone call or that email or the intuitive action to take, rather than just taking lots of action, taking the right action.
Yes.
So has anybody done that? I mean, had a success story where that you could share, where you let go and then you had the intuitive sense to do something, or something or someone showed up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
By what was yours?
I want to help with an event that's happening here in my community. I call the gentleman who's the key organizer, left a message, called back and spoke with him, and still didn't hear from him. Saw him this evening at an event. At the very end, I went up to him, and he said, "Oh, didn't I call you and talk to you?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, I'd like you to help with," and told me where he'd like my help. And I didn't know he would be there this evening. You know, I had kind of just decided, okay, if he doesn't call, I'm just going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than call again, and there he was to talk with.
It's this acting on the intuition, you know, that sometimes I'm driving home and an intuitive thought comes across, or just a thought comes across, and I think, I should go that way home instead of this way that I normally go. And then I think to myself, no, the other way is slower. It's, you know, it's that, and then the next thing I know, I've already passed the exit, so questioning, you know, it doesn't make sense to do it that way because it's slower, or why would I do that? And so I have found myself in the past judging those inklings that come across.
Mm-hmm. Can I interject here?
Certainly.
Letting go is what a lot of people use, and I'm going to go back to what I use, and that's trust. So I don't let go, I trust. And I trust that whatever is going on is happening perfectly for me. And along that trust, there's three things, and one that goes along with that trust, intuition. But see, if I'm in a trusting mode, I'm going to trust my intuition. The third thing is wise thoughts. But if I'm not in trusting mode, then I'm going to trust my inner wisdom. And the fourth thing is right inspired actions. And if I'm in a trusting mode, then I will know I'll take right inspired actions.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of those go hand in hand for me, and it works extremely well for me.
Well, and you just laid out how you take that inspired action on page 166. Joe talks about, you know, step one, set an intention. Step two, follow your hunches. And, you know, doing those two things is set the intention, follow your hunches, watch the signals, listen to your intuition. You know, it's funny, my son, I decided to expose him to Star Wars. The very first one was Episode 4, you know, with Mark Hamill and all that. And so we watched Episode 4 and then 5 the next week, and then 6 the week after that. We just watched it on the computer. And my son was relating to me today, it was so awesome, about how he took action on an intuitive impulse, but he related it to, and Daddy, remember how Luke in the movie kept on being talked to by Obi-Wan Kenobi about, you know, listen to your feelings and, you know, follow the Force. And it was really cool because it that captured his imagination, you know. And my wife and I are like, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what you do. That's what you should be listening to. Listen to the Force. So
that was a powerful movie. That was a powerful line.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I got to thank George Lucas for that, for encouraging my son to. George, if you're out there and you hear this, thank you for helping my son get in touch with his and learn to have a language around intuition. I mean, that movie is all about taking action based on an intuitive sense.
Mm-hmm.
right? And everybody else is just is taking action based on logic in the movie. And Luke at different points is challenged. People say, why are you doing that? That's in the last movie, you know, episode 6, where he faces his Darth Vader, his dad, and he just knows that he's got to go do it. And people are saying, what? That's crazy. Leave. You know, I remember Princess Leia, she's saying, don't do that. Leave. Just leave this place. Because it defies logic, right, in an extreme situation. But he listened to his intuition. So I love that part. Well, is there any? I'm looking through the book here, looking for other topics that we might want to discuss in this particular section. And I guess it's on page 173. He says the ultimate secret. Again, the ultimate secret to attracting whatever you want is to want it without needing it. What is your? You want it without needing it. So he's making a distinction between want and need. What is your take on that?
Al's got the answers to that, haven't you, Al?
I was going to say, I don't think you want to ask. You know what? I don't even use either one of those words anymore.
Really?
They're completely out of my vocabulary.
And you've replaced them with what?
Desire and require.
Yes. That's good. I've used a choice. I choose this. Someone once told me that to want something is to desire without having.
Well, that's pretty well said.
Mm.
You know, wanting is you're always going to be in the state of wanting something.
Right.
And needing something. That means you're lacking.
So what does desire mean to you, Al? It's different.
Desire comes from my inner being, my inner spirit.
Okay.
And if we look at the root word of that, and Al, you might have that. The root word of that is of the Father.
I wasn't aware of that. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, or D-E, of, and then sire. Like to, you know, in the cult.
Wow.
I sired something, so it's of the Father.
I like the word even more now.
I do too.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass that on. Tom, thank you.
You're welcome. I don't remember where I heard that.
Yeah.
Wow, that is awesome. No wonder it resonates with me.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Well, it is a completely different feeling than to want it, than I desire this. And what was the other word that you said? You
require. Is there a root word of that?
Require.
Require or acquire?
Require.
Require, desire and require.
Yeah. Get rid of need and want. They're disempowering words.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the other one that I've used is choose. I choose this. Like, for example, oftentimes in the past I've... like my son will ask me a question, for example. Daddy, why did he ask me a Star Wars question today? Why do the stormtroopers wear those white suits in the movie? You know those white suits that the bad guys wear with the helmets and all, the kind of the minions of the Emperor and the guys who run around a lot? So my first response right out of my mouth was, I don't know. And what I've been training myself to say is, I choose to know. Because I don't know is a declaration. As opposed to I choose to know, which means it will come to me. Does that make sense? I think the same holds true for if I'm thinking to myself, and this could be a self, the questions generated from myself is, how am I going to manifest $20,000? One response would be, I don't know. Another response would be, I choose to know.
How about I require?
It's already a negative in the first place.
Explain your view on that, Helen.
Well, just the way you'd worded that phrase.
Okay.
It was as if it would never materialize. It had no chance of materializing. It was negative. It was just maybe counteracting something that had preceded it.
Yes. Versus, I now have $20,000. And this is what it feels like. And focusing on the feeling of the 20,000.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't. The quality of the call's gone down a lot. I've moved to see if it gets better.
How does it sound for you, Al?
Sounds good to me.
Much better. Much better. Okay.
Okay. So even, I think that, Helen, what you've pointed out to me is that even to, it's the idea of separation. Anytime I want or desire or require or choose it, I think that the risk perhaps is that on a subtle level, there's a belief system that could come into place, which is there's a separation. I'm separated from that which I desire, which is not true.
Yeah. Well, I think the very subtleness and use of words is shown clearly with Al's words of always and always. And that hit me like a sledgehammer only last week, where, always means one thing, but when you split it into two words, it is just so powerful.
Hmm.
So I think re-languaging our vocabulary is essential in achieving any of this.
Absolutely.
Well, the last sentence in this section, he says, Joe says, in short, you fully activate the attractor factor when you let go. So in other words, the attractor factor is not fully activated until you let go.
But it is letting go with trust.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I love
because
this.
I had to trust that there would be accommodation for me somewhere in just doing what I did to move. And it was there.
I was just mentioning today about, has anybody heard of the Peace Pilgrim?
Yes.
Yeah.
The woman, how long did she walk or wander?
Oh gosh, many years. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, okay, here we go. It's, I just went to her website, 1908 to 1981.
Wow.
Is that her life?
That was her wife, yeah. So it says from 1953 to 1981, a silver-haired woman called herself only Peace Pilgrim, walked more than 25,000 miles on a personal pilgrimage for peace. She vowed to remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace, walking until given shelter and fasting until given food. In the course of her 28-year pilgrimage, she touched the hearts, minds, and lives of thousands of individuals across North America. Her message was both simple and profound. It continues to inspire people all over the world. So, yeah, from what I remember, that reading about her, that all she had was the clothes on her back. Is that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah.
25 years. 28 years. 28 years. So, and she's at peacepilgrim.com. So, I am. If we go past the this section and into the final sections, because we're almost at the end of this call, there's this one kind of interesting section on page 179, the shocking true story of Jonathan. What did you guys make of that?
I guess some people are not all what they add up to be or seem to be.
Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. That someone can be such a great teacher and then at the same time have so many what seem like difficulties.
But he's not the only one that that's happened to.
Yeah.
And,
I think he needed to learn the lessons in those other areas, and he had the wisdom anyway. And somebody quoted a story to me yesterday that was sort of very similar, with a fellow who was a wise person. Everybody come to see him, but when they saw him, he was just a drunk and couldn't see where the wisdom was, and they didn't stay long enough to hear the stories and hear the wisdom.
Has anybody done the final section here, which is the experiment Intentional Meditation Foundation?
I have.
And so that's a 20-day meditation?
30 days.
Oh, it's 20 minutes using the technique.
Yeah.
Could you share the technique and what you got out of that?
Actually, I did three of them back to back to back, and they all became successful. The first 30 day. Well, actually, what I did is the first 30 day. What I wanted, what I desired. I almost used the word wanted. What I desired. I took 20 minutes every evening and meditated and visualized on it. First, I visualized it for about 5 minutes. I meditated on it for about 10 minutes. And then the last 5 minutes, I saw, after the visualization and the meditation, I actually saw it becoming to pass. And I smiled at it. I nodded my head yes. I even said to myself yes. And I smiled. And like it was already happening in front of me. And I can vividly see it. And I had, like I said, I did three of them in a row, and they all came to pass.
Hmm.
And I started one and didn't get it finished, and I'd like to go back and do it again.
I don't have the book in front of me. Could you reiterate what the technique is again?
Yeah, he says it on page 188. He says, in short, here it is. You simply take your intention, what you wrote down that you want, so you write it down, and you take the feelings of already having accomplished it, feel the success now, and spend 20 minutes a day soaking it up, pretending it's all happening now.
Okay, thank you.
That's it. And then he provides some resources at the end of this, the Notes from the Universe. I'm guessing everybody signed up for that.
From Tut?
Tut, yeah.
That guy is awesome. I love that. That guy is awesome.
Yeah.
Could you remind me? I don't have the book with me. It's with somebody else. Could you just remind me of what that is?
If you go to www.tut.com, Tut, you can sign up for it's daily, Monday through Friday, right, Al?
Right.
Messages that are written in the form of the universe writing to you.
Right.
And so it's like you're getting a message, like an email. And they're short. They're, you know, sometimes a sentence long. At the longest, there may be 4 or 5 sentences.
Well, unless it's your birthday, then you get paragraphs.
Oh, yeah, unless it's your birthday. So they're long there.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then he also has the... There's another resource here, anything-fast.com. Is that... have you looked at that, Al?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
There was a book called Dash. Is it anything to do with that? I forget who wrote it, but the Dash was the dash between the year you were born and the year you died.
That, you're saying that's a book?
Book. It's called Dash, yes. Give me a couple of seconds and I'll find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, a friend of mine wrote a song about it, too. From
and I'm sure it was even one of Joe's promotions. And it is. It's about what are you going to do with that dash in your life, basically. I'm sure it was one Joe promoted at one point in time, too.
Hmm. Well... here we are at the, at the top of the hour. It's 10:59.
There it is. Aronson's the author. A-R-O-N-S-O-N. And it's just called Dash.
Oh, that's great.
Tom, if I can mention something here real quick. Actually,
please. Yeah.
There was one line in this whole book that... not that I didn't pay attention to the rest of the book, but this one line I took to heart, and it really sunk in and really changed my life anyways. And that is, will you join me in transforming the world?
Mm-hmm.
And...
powerful.
I took it to heart. Matter of fact, my third 30-day meditation was based on that. And it's all coming to pass. Helen knows a bit about it, but that to me was the most powerful statement in the whole book, because if you're transforming the world, and here comes my phrase into this, for the best and highest good of all, then you're living or functioning higher. So that's a very powerful statement to me, and that changed my way, my thought process, and how I do things, and how I see things. Everything I do is pointed towards that.
Well, I'm at a place where I think that I believe and know that now is the time to play at a really big game, and so I get excited about that. And Al, I know you've been to my site, and I've been working on some big pieces. And this one, last night I just spoke at a local business support group. They invited me to speak about internet stuff, and I brought this book with me. I said, as I was closing, I said, okay, if you'd like to join us for these calls, and there's the book study group and even online, and I said, this is a great book. And guess what? There was a guy in the group who had the book, and he said, oh, it's a great book. Boy, is that an affirmation or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The second thing I would like to mention is towards you, Tom, for the time and effort that you put in for these 5 weeks.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Really, yes, it's absolutely wonderful.
Well, maybe we'll do it again.
At an earlier time.
Well, I know my wife is going to not be taking classes on Tuesday night, and I just kind of, looking back on it, you know, ending up at 11 p.m. Eastern, I think, oh, okay, that's later night for me than I would choose, but I've actually enjoyed it, really enjoyed it, and have gotten a lot out of these, and my wife was walking past me this evening as I was looking at this book here and getting ready for the call. I thought, you know what, I'm really glad. I've got more post-it notes, more yellow marks in here than I've ever had. Notes all over the thing. Like tonight when we were talking about desire and choose and what was the other word? I'm going to look here. Require. You know, so I've been writing notes in the margins, and I like it when I do that to books. I really do. So, all right, well, here we are at the end of the call, and I'll post this on the blog, and I'll send a message out to the group and take a pause for a while. Maybe we can do another one and come back and at a different time.
You know what you might want to consider is throwing it out to the group is I'm in the middle of a 30-day meditation right now, but you may want to consider doing a 30-day meditation and maybe 2 months from now getting back to see what the results were.
You're saying that...
That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
In 2 months or in a month?
Or, yeah, or in a month, you know. Give it a week to figure out what you desire or require. Start it a week from today, and 4 weeks later, or actually it has to be 5 weeks later because that's only 28 days and 4 weeks. 5 weeks later, have a follow-up call and see how everybody's 30-day meditation went.
Well, I go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Alice, I'm going to ask, did you actually write the script out? As Joe mentioned before, you did your 30-day meditation?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, that I didn't get to do before, and I was going to do it this time.
Yeah, I wrote down exactly what I desire and require.
Yeah.
Exactly. And here's a tip for all of you when you do your 30-day. When you're writing down that script, what you desire and require, ask as you're writing it, ask yourself 5 times why. Because when you get to the 5th why, you'll get to the core of the reason why you desire and require what it is, whatever it is. So in other words, you say you want $1 million. Ask yourself, well, why do I want $1 million? You'll get the answer. Ask why to that. You'll get the answer. Ask why to that. The 5th why, you'll get to the core of why you want that $1 million, and that'll be what should be on your script.
Okay.
That works well with a partner too. I've done a similar thing of answering what is money at a workshop one time, and you just sit with a partner and you start off with what is money, and your partner just keeps asking the same question over and over, listening.
Right.
And all they're doing is asking that same question. Mark Victor Hansen, I spoke with him once, and he said you can do a similar thing with to find your life purpose. You know, work with a partner, and there's something about it with working with another person who's sitting there watching you, and just being patient and listening, and what is your purpose? Why are you here? And just keep asking the question. And like you said, Al, you get amazingly, I don't know why it is, but maybe when the subconscious is put on the spot, it has to come up with an answer.
Also, there's the when two or more are gathered, so you have the energy of two.
Yes.
And you're vocalizing it outwardly.
When you first ask the first why, it's your ego responding. Unless you're very aware, conscious, creator of your life, for most people, the ego's going to answer. You ask why again, and the ego's going to come right back, okay, well, this is why. The third why, now your ego's going, okay, I'm running out of answers here. Well, your heart now you're allowing the opportunity for your heart to start answering. And by the time you get to your fifth why, it's all heart and no ego.
Out.
Very powerful.
Wonderful, Al. Thank you.
Welcome.
Well, I'll see you all on the list then, and we'll continue the conversation.
Absolutely.
I want to, Al, thank you so much, and Helen and Bonnie and Sarah for being here tonight. This is it's fun to think that 5 weeks we've done each of these, so this is great. Well, I'll post this in the next day or two, and I want to thank everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a good night.